I'm going to call this meeting to order. 7:08 on January 25th, Thursday, Historic Preservation Committee meeting. I will start by calling the roll. Commissioner Prestes.
Here.
Commissioner Reno Ogden.
Here.
Commissioner Graham White.
Here.
Commissioner Franek.
Here.
We do have a quorum. Seeing that we do not have a chair present, I'd ask for a nomination for a chair pro tem.
I'd like to nominate Commissioner
Franek. I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Meeting's yours.
Congratulations.
Help yourself to whatever seat you like now. And I think if it's okay with you, Chair Pro Tem Franek, I think we turn the floor to former Chair Zarowski here to begin the meeting. So.
Absolutely. As our distinguished member of the public.
Stuff that needs to be documented. I just want to thank everybody for all their hard work. I got parents that are getting up there. This is really important stuff that Preservation Commission is doing. But my parents are here.
Can I ask if you're resigning from the commission or just from being the chair?
Yes, I am.
I think we all want to thank you for 2 years.
Thank you so much.
And more than that, I'd like to thank Tom personally for 12 years as one of the remaining original band. It's been an interesting ride, and I value your counsel and friendship, and am very appreciative of everything you've done. I know that being a chairman takes a lot more time than people think, because we are a working commission, and all your efforts and good cheer and well placed snarkiness are always always appreciated.
Thank you, Tom.
Any public testimony?
Yeah.
Jan?
Just tap that mic once, make sure.
Huh? Okay. Yeah. Okay. Jan Sager, 435 William. We were talking a little bit about last night's crime prevention meeting that I attended, and I'm bringing it up here because it's River Forest, and we want to make sure that all the things that we have to offer, the schools and being close to Chicago and also the beautiful architecture and the rich variety of architecture, remains attractive to people. We want people to come here and stay here and feel safe here. So the next meeting's in April. I think it's at 7, which will be, the one last night was at 4:30. So the next one, hopefully people can make it. It's really important to know what our town's doing and what we need to do. Commissioner Popowitz isn't here, but his video is posted on not only the village website, but also on YouTube. So go on and like it on YouTube, sign in and like it, and we'll try and get the word out so that more and more people, it's another way of people seeing River Forest, and Al did a wonderful job on that. Thank you. And Tom, did you want to talk about your plaque?
You've been willed up there.
We haven't bitten anyone in weeks.
Tom Berzichudek, 754 William. I was just telling Jan that one thing I did just before Christmas is I applied to the Historical Society for the plaque that you can put on your house, and I'm hoping that that will at least, I mean, more than likely I'll be moving out of River Forest in the next 5 years. So I figured I might as well do that now so that people will recognize that the house has some significance the minute they see it. And, you know, when realtors come look at it, I'm hoping that that'll at least jog their memory and make them at least ask questions, if nothing else, about, you know, why it's out there.
Yeah, I'd love to hear an accident.
I threw it off.
Thank you. Sorry to interrupt.
Yeah. That's it.
I'm sorry.
Thanks, Tom.
I'm so sorry.
Sure.
Thanks, Tommy. And by the way, we'd like to thank you for all of your work on behalf of your block. More work to continue, as we'll talk about as a commission in terms of sort of what next steps are in some areas. But again, thanks.
And if I could, just while we're on the topic that Jan mentioned, the second installment of Al's video series will be coming out with the E-News next Friday on the 2nd. So putting the finishing touches on, and that one will add to the archives. So 8 more homes, or maybe 10 more homes, or so. Yeah, I think the video came together fairly nicely, and it's good to preserve that. So.
Yeah, good. That's great. Yeah, it's who needs Jeffrey Bear? Approval of meeting minutes. Does anyone have any comments on the minutes of December 5th?
I've got one comment on page 4, second to last paragraph. I'd like to say unique in the, not just the neighborhood, but unique in the country and perhaps the world.
Any others, Dave?
That was it.
I've got one. It's on the second page. It is in the first full paragraph. In the second line, rather than Jean suggested, I believe it should be Jan suggested.
Thank you.
Does anyone have any other comments on the minutes for December 5th? Do I hear a motion to approve the meeting minutes for December 5th?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Meeting minutes for December 13th. Does anyone have any comments? Do I hear a motion to approve?
Motion to approve the meeting.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? They're so approved. Other business. I was thinking since our last meeting, where do we go from here? And it struck me that the sort of the next push that perhaps we may wish to consider as a commission are various ways to assist the owners of older homes who are interested in selling to channel to them for conversation people who are interested in rehabbing homes as opposed to demolishing. The difficulty in that is that one doesn't want to step on the toes of the listing agent if there's a listing realtor, and that tends to be something that's jealously guarded. So what I'm going to do is I'm reaching out to a couple of realtors I know who deal with a lot of the historic properties and not only River Forest, but also in Oak Park, and find out what their thoughts are in terms of what's the best way to collect that information and get it disseminated without the realtors believing that we're interfering with their listings or stepping on their toes. because I think currently, while we have a system that allows for our review and a delay in a demolition process, it's clearly not perfect and still relies upon the efforts of the owner-developer. Question, John, have we received any proposed plans?
We have not from 747 William.
Okay.
None.
Gotcha. As one of the things that concerned me as I sat there was the interpretation by the attorney from the village attorney's office that once we had voted on the certificate of appropriateness, our role had ended. And I don't believe that's the intent. Otherwise, the concept of having a period of months to discuss alternatives would have no meaning. So I think perhaps we may wish to consider a clarification of the ordinance. And I've talked to some folks, and that's met with a sense of, that makes an awful lot of sense. But I think what we need to do is, I think one of the things that we've done in the 12 years of our existence is we've gone from a purely advisory, hey, what are you going to do? Tell me to do my thing, to people understanding, A, we're not the paint police, B, the existence of historic properties not only adds to the cultural value, but adds to the monetary value of homes within the village. Is a great attractant to our village. I think we've kind of got that one locked down. And I think we've got a good process here through the commission. We just need to figure out ways to embrace more people who are in the selling community to understand that there are alternatives, because not every person who is selling a home wishes to see that home that perhaps they've lived in for decades demolished. Those are my sort of off-the-cuff thoughts.
Yeah, I had a few additional observations, principally from our experience with 747 William. I'll preface this by saying some of these may be dead wrong, so I'm open to pushback. But I felt as if our six-month demolition delay left us carrying a pretty small stick. You know, and I understand that 6 months was a period of compromise, and that there are indeed competing interests and values. But you know, I had thought, and of course, we're operating under a fairly new ordinance, as we all know, because we all helped work on it. But I thought that the 6 months would be a more substantial point of leverage and or deterrent than it really turned out to be in this instance. And in part, that was a function of the fact that by the way the timeline plays out, a good chunk, you know, call it a third or a fifth of the six-month period has already transpired by the time we get to the final decision. And so 6 months, as it plays out, doesn't really turn out to be 6 months. And so, you know, the fix for that is simple and, of course, controversial, and would involve debate and discussion and accounting for all the different interests. But lengthening that period, to me, would be valuable in increasing the bite of the ordinance. And that's a reason to like the idea and to hate the idea, depending on who you are. So that was one thought. And just a couple more, and I'll be as succinct as I can. Following up on David's point, or building on it, you know, sure, it's great in a situation where a developer has bought the property to have the powers limited as they are under the ordinance, and we all saw how it played out, and it won't inevitably play out the same way every single time. avoiding a situation where a property is inadvertently sold to a developer or sold to a developer without a full understanding and appreciation of what that's going to mean for the property and for the community is certainly a first best solution, because, you know, by the time a developer has purchased the property, we are way further down the road toward the demolition than we all would love to admit. And the 747 was a great example of how that played out. I'm not here to debate anyone's motives or who shot straight and who didn't, but, you know, developer bought it. There was early discussion. Well, it's not clear what they want to do. They're thinking about this. They're thinking about that. You know, by the end of the process, my sense was they pretty clearly knew what they wanted to do from day one. And, you know, they engaged us. I don't, you know, in whatever faith they engaged us. But the bottom line is the plan, I suspect, remained largely unchanged from beginning to end, notwithstanding a bunch of enjoyable and not so enjoyable discussion. So avoiding that situation in the first place is far and away a better solution. And finally, I had one other, I'll pause there. I had one other thought, it just escaped.
I agree with Brian. I know that when we were considering the length of time, 6 months was decided on. I thought at that point that a longer period of time would have been a better solution. I know that communities like Highland Park have 1 year. I think Lake Forest has like longer than that, maybe 2 years, very long periods of time, so that somebody who wants to demolish a property is going to think, I hope, twice before buying a property to tear down and then having to wait that amount of time. It's just like, okay, I can find a property for that amount of money, especially the less expensive property, which this was. I can find it four blocks away. I may have to wait for 6-8 weeks before I find it, but hey, I don't want to tie my money up for this amount of time. One of the things that I always thought was that people, developers, buying properties for demolition in this community were going to buy larger properties, those that are above the 50 feet minimum, so they could, if they're going to put one home in, they could put something on a 75-foot property, a McMansion, or as unfortunately with the Morris property, they could put two houses. I was very surprised that anybody would buy a 50-foot lot at this point and tear down a significant property. That surprised me, but obviously somebody looked at the profit margin and thought, "Ooh, this is a good deal, I'll do it." And I think we should really start to throw a lot of things out and see what this commission thinks would be possible deterrents, because that's obviously what needs to be done if we don't want something like what's happened at 747. I am very glad to see that 750 seems to have sold, even though our developer knew that that one, somebody was going to come in and tear it down. I'm hoping John is not going to say no, because it looked like a good house.
We've had no indication of that.
Right. I mean, so
maybe it was it Commissioner Prestes that asked for the buyer on that?
That was on the 720 Keystone.
Okay.
And
you're
that's
right. I'm sorry.
That, I think, is
you're
close
right.
to.
Yeah.
And
but either, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Regardless, both of them, we've had no indication.
I mean, these things are sometimes very surprising, and so I think that we need to have our ducks in the row so that they're not shot down, all of them.
One of the things that worked against us with respect to 747, and I don't know whether it was planned or just bad serendipity, But when you consider when the application was filed and our various hearing processes and then our decision, even if we did the maximum delay, I think we're delaying until April.
That's correct, April 25th.
Then what happens is that's when, frankly, you're just emerging from that lowly construction period known as winter conditions, when you really can't do a heck of a lot anyways. So that other than requiring the developer to carry the property for another couple of months, developer really wasn't disadvantaged by any extension that we imposed. So that's something that whether by foresight or just occurrence, that kind of diminished. I think it's really important that we all, as people who are committed to the process for the betterment of our community, as well as community members, those the good folks who have shown up for many of these meetings, think long and hard about creative ways to get the word out and to basically grow the understanding, because I think that's one, if you can nip it in the bud before someone has purchased it with the idea of a teardown, then you're certainly closer to the goal line that we want to achieve.
I think your idea of finding ways for long-term seniors to market their property so that they don't want it to be a teardown, but know who they're selling to is very good. As a senior who does not know how long she and her husband can stay in their property, This is something that is actually very important.
I'm not interested personally in diminishing what someone obtains when they sell their property. Rather, I think, as you just said, Carla, I think there are a number of people in our community who have lived in our community for a number of years, and they feel a strong connection to the community. They identify with our community. And one of the ways they identify it through is the care and loving maintenance of their homes. The level of pride in their homes is just extraordinary. And whether it's a smaller home and a senior couple that's lived there 50 years, or whether it's a multiple lot mansion, it doesn't diminish either the value of the home to the community or the pride in which the owners feel. And I think that's something that we need to figure out a way to service that pride better.
I think that Oak Park is looking into this now. I read something in Wednesday Journal, maybe last week or the week before, that that this is something they are considering, how to keep people in their homes, how they can maintain them, and I think also how they can market them so that older homes are not just considered valueless, that This has as much connection to the community as the people who have lived there for 50 and 100 years, actually, for all these homes.
Yeah, they're not disposable assets. Yeah. One of the things that I'll do is I'll reach out to the commission in Oak Park and some of the people in Oak Park and in the village to see what they're doing. I mean, we don't live in a vacuum. And one of the things that I think we're sometimes caught up in as being members of a commission is coming up with these creative solutions without realizing that we're not alone in facing these problems. And I'm sure a lot of other people are as well, and a lot of other communities.
Yeah. And I do want to say, for the 700 block of William, I was in Whole Foods a few weeks ago, and one of your neighbors walked up to me and said, "You're on the commission, aren't you?" I said, "Yeah." She said, "I just want to thank you and everybody on the commission for everything you've done for the 700 block."
Tom, did you still mean by 750?
Yeah, a couple things, I guess.
Again, Tom from 754. 750 is right next door to me. And I don't know details about who bought it. All I know is there's been a very young family in and out of the house. children like 5 years old. The man seems to be in his 30s, so I'm assuming that that's a good sign. You know, it's not someone, at least so far, we don't see an indication of anything, any desire to change the house, I guess. But I back to ideas on how to make these houses, preserve the houses. A couple of things popped into my head, and they're all, unfortunately, have a financial impact. But my understanding is, what, there's 290 significant homes in the village, is that correct?
A couple more, but yes. More,
yeah. Okay, something like that.
Yep.
I mean, if there could be a benefit to the homeowner to being in one of these homes and to the next homeowner of owning one of these homes, I think that would help. So, you know, I mentioned earlier that I'm trying to get a plaque for my house. Well, would the village be willing to plaque every one of these 290-some houses to make sure that it's in your face, that these houses are significant and that you can't hide it? You know, it's going to be there in your face. For the next person who wants to buy one, is there anything that can be done to provide tax incentives or lower interest rates or something like that to make it desirable to buy one of these houses? To me, that's one way to increase interest in being in one of these houses and staying in one of these houses and preserving it, because you get these other benefits with it. I realize that creates, you know, now everyone wants to be a significant property, and, you know, other things may happen as a result of that. But I think one thing that would help is to make it an advantage to own one of these houses.
What is the cost of the plaque? I know I looked at it.
I think it's $300.
That's what I thought. What is the possibility of the commission, the village, if not paying for it, but to subsidize it, or at least to publicize that these are available, or to do something?
I mean, these are all people who live in multi-hundred-thousand-dollar homes. Mm-hmm. It would be nice if just to publicize it and allow people to spend their $300. I mean, I didn't know I could get a plaque. I'm on the historic preservation.
You can get $300, you get a discount, I bet.
Yeah. Well, and also
do some kind of bulk purchasing.
Right, exactly, yeah. That is actually a good idea, to contact the Historic Society and say, we want to buy 290-plus for the village, and what kind of deal can you give us? Right. I mean, isn't this the art of the deal these days?
Well, the process for this, though, is you have to prove the heritage of the house. You have to research it. You have to document it. Is the fact that you've deemed it architecturally significant good enough?
But, I mean, if the village says, these are the significant homes in River Forest, we have documented this, this has been done by our survey, send the book to the Historic Society and say, you know, what more do you want? You know, do you need this from each individual homeowner, or is this, you know, good enough documentation that the village wants to hand them out? I don't know.
I would strongly favor something where we simply put the information regarding the process in the hands of the homeowners, and, you know, either they choose to pursue it or they don't.
Let's at least start with that.
Well, I mean, you're just recognizing the inevitable difficulties in talking about spending potentially hundreds of thousands of dollars of taxpayer money that's often frowned upon. The challenge of some kind of, you know, finding the resources within the local government to do some kind of bulk research and processing, so it poses hurdles. So at least as a first step, perhaps it would be pretty easy, like, to include in the monthly email something that points out that people who live in, you know, one of the X hundred number of historically significant homes have this option. All you got to do is, you know, email or call so-and-so at the so-and-so society. You know, even if 2% of the people who did it, we'd have five more homes with a nice platinum.
One of the benefits of being recently retired is I've got a little bit more time. Enviably so. I'll reach out to some of the folks at the Historical Society. I think it's a good idea to ask, what's the value of the significant property listing? You know, is this something that's giving someone a leg up, or is this basically giving someone the information they need, as long as they fill out the necessary background paperwork based upon the survey? to get a plaque, if in fact that's, you know. Because I think it's all part of the same process. It's all part of engendering pride of place. I was speaking with one of our I was speaking with the village president, and I relayed to Kathy that we've got a couple of people, a couple of homeowners who have received awards, and they have insisted on retaining their metal signs for several years, and they continue to display them regardless of the weather of the season as a sign of pride. And she was really enthusiastic. She said, that's great. I mean, that's what you want. As people have clearly bought into the process.
You know, on Tom's other point about tax breaks and that kind of thing, there is also this historic preservation tax freeze. It's a very significant benefit that I think is realized perhaps by few. There is the challenge of dealing with our ineffective and largely non-existent state government in obtaining the freeze. It is a massive financial break. You know, you have a historic property, which all these people do. You do the project that you're going to do on your property. You renovate it. You put in a new kitchen. You do whatever you're going to do. It has to meet the standard. And at that point, once you've completed it, documented it, and submitted the application, your taxes for the next 8 years, or 10?
Eight.
There's a phase out. But
yeah, so, it's a so, five-year progress to build back up to what it should be.
And so it's for 8 years are frozen at the time you began your renovation. So, for example, if you have a house that's worth $500,000 because it's a dump and you buy it, and you do a ton of work on it, and you make it over 4 years and make it worth $900,000, you get to have it taxed at the rate that it would have been taxed at when it was only worth $400,000, even though you now live in a $900,000 house, and that carries forward for 8 years, saving you tens, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars in property taxes. So yeah. I won't belabor it, but it's a huge deal, and, you know, I don't know how well the word is out, but boy, it's a lot of money for folks who are able to take advantage of it.
And people might think even more of it now that you can only deduct $10,000 in property taxes.
Yeah.
The legislature may dump the whole thing as well. So.
Yeah, sure. Right. The point that had escaped my mind that I recall now is, one concept built into our ordinance is this concept that during the demolition delay, there's a kind of an opportunity to find a solution, you know, for an angel or whomever to come in and maybe buy the place, whatever. You know, this process, and it was only a one-shot deal, of course, but left me feeling pretty cynical about that assumption. I mean, obviously, the delay also may pose a cost on the developer, and maybe that's simply a less palatable rationale for the delay than saying, oh, the delay is to explore alternatives. Maybe that's a little more politically popular. And maybe it's, and I'm not suggesting it's false. Don't get me wrong. There are multiple rationales. I'm a lot more sour on the viability of the discussion and exploration of solutions rationale than I was going in, only because, the 747 William was a relatively inexpensive home. I don't mean to trivialize it. It's a beautiful home, and hundreds of thousands of dollars is not chump change to anybody. But within River Forest, it was on the lower side of historically significant home price points. And still, I mean, from what I could tell, and I wasn't privy to every conversation, we didn't really even come close, and maybe we will, that'd be great, to having someone come in or some group or organization and buy the place and save the day. So I'm just feeling a little negative about that piece of it, combined with the fact, and this is absolutely not to knock efforts of people like Jan or any others or everybody who lived on the block who came to the meeting, but at the big meeting at Lincoln, what did we have? Like 30 people, well, that's great. And maybe that, you know, I understand people have other stuff going on. They've got kids, they've got sports, they've got other priorities. But, you know, 30 people coming to a meeting obviously wasn't enough to persuade this developer. You know, if 100 people had shown up or 300 people, maybe that sends a different signal. And I mentioned the two points in conjunction because they are a little bit tied in my mind. I mean, not only do we not have someone or some group with the financial wherewithal to swoop in and solve the problem, and I get that, but also the community response was far from overwhelming. And again, that's absolutely not to knock the good people who came and said their piece, and spending two or three nights at these kind of meetings is no small contribution. 100% agree. But, you know, it is a fact that we probably only had 3 dozen people at the meeting, which was a lot less than was at least theoretically possible.
I think that this being a small home, significant home, it was a small home, and the people who did show up were mainly the people who lived on the block to who were affected, you know, very strongly immediately. And I'm going back, I'm thinking like 10 years to a property, I think the address is 620 Franklin, which was an estate. It was not in good shape. It's, it had the raccoons in the attic and all those things. It was bought by a developer. She lived in the 700 block of Franklin. And there was a public meeting. It was not a significant property. There was a public meeting. She felt so ashamed that she negated the contract. I don't know how much money she lost. People put it back on the market. It sold to another young River Forest couple with children who lived elsewhere in River Forest in a smaller house. They renovated it. It's a sort of a tan brown stucco. I think it's the, well, there was a house there that's been torn down. The third house property down on Franklin. It can happen. So, I mean, you just don't know. So it's a good idea to have. Maybe it'll work. Maybe it won't. You just, a lot of this is, you just don't know. And so you need to be prepared and have as many items in the basket as possible to throw out when you need to have them.
Speaking about the home in the 600 block of Franklin you're just talking about, Carl, I seem to remember that a number of village residents in that section of the community had blue ribbons on their trees.
Not just there.
It was,
we had them all
exactly
over.
Yeah.
I had
them, and
on
it
my
was
tree.
Inescapable
every tree going on, and the village wanted to take them down, and it was a whole free speech thing, First Amendment thing. Yeah,
I think a lot of it is it comes down to the intent of the purchaser and what he, she, or it wishes to do with the property. Clearly, with the Mars Mansion, the owner couldn't wait to demolish. The owner never appeared before us, never presented anything. Within hours of getting their permit, they had the dozers there. I believe they didn't salvage things from the property, thereby losing significant funds, as the daughter of the original owner told me that her father had specced what are called inset copper gutters that were wide enough and strong enough to hold someone working in them, and they were around the entire home. This is a massive structure. I saw that pretty much torn up and discarded when I drove by that afternoon, when the dozers were going through, and I don't believe that was salvaged. I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that when people think of Oak Park, they immediately think of preservation. I think we are making significant inroads here, but I think we also need to continue our efforts, creative, to impact people at various levels that various constituencies within the village consider important, whether it's the tax freeze, whether it's the significance of the property through a plaque system, whether it's something else we haven't thought about yet. But it's something that, you know, I would hardly recommend that while you're brushing your teeth or nodding off at night, you know, kick it around. You know, think of ways you could impact people. Because I'll certainly reach out to other communities in the area and to try to discuss, you know, how they're approaching this.
What I was surprised was that this developer is local and professes, you know, to love the village and the historic properties and went right ahead.
We haven't seen plans yet. No. I think that speaks volumes. Mm-mm.
Did we have a chart at one time that compared relative things in the area for their preservation regarding the ordinance at the beginning? Did we have
it wasn't reduced to a chart. It,
there might be a memorandum that I could dig up. I'll take a look.
I think two.
I wouldn't have written it, but it sounds familiar, so maybe I've seen it. Let me take a look.
Let me see that again.
Well, back to the comment about attendance at that meeting. I mean, I agree, because I personally, with one other, Pat Hyman, delivered over 250 flyers in every door within two blocks of our block, trying to get people to show up. And, you know, yeah, everyone's busy, but I was disappointed in the crowd. But we tried.
Yeah. You did a great job considering that, A, it's a short period of time to alert people, and B, you're sort of starting from ground zero, and it's not their home and it's not their block.
Right.
Therefore, you've got to energize them somehow. So, you know, please understand that the comment is really one of, okay, how do we address this and tap into the feelings that are certainly out there? Because I know that when we had the original discussions, first about whether an ordinance should be adopted, and then secondly, revising the ordinance, we had hundreds of people. We had overflow crowds. And there were people on both sides of the issue that were pretty passionate. So it's clearly something that people ascribed a certain significance to.
All right. I think people care, but not everyone's willing to go out of their way to make, you know, to make change. But another question on, is there any way that you can find out if a house goes on the market at significantly less than what it's valued at? It's sort of a red flag that this house is going to be picked up by someone, you know, to do something drastic, either renovate or tear down. I mean, can you look at the tax valuation and what the house goes on the market at and say, you know, that's $200,000, $300,000 less than it's worth, and maybe that means it's a distressed home or whatever. And just another idea.
If I could speak to that just real quick, and I know, you know, part of what Carla does in her monthly reports is keep an eye on some of the local realty, and especially homes that you guys have identified as being at-risk properties. So perhaps there's some of that. I will say, too, that this question has been asked once before, too, on the notification of that. The village is obviously not involved in the private market, but we're actually really not involved until the sale. And the transfer tax is usually picked up a day before closing for a lot of reasons, finishing water billing and stuff. So there's some aspect of that that limits the ability. But you know, we've talked about this before too. You know, if we could just general notifications of when historic homes on the market or anything like that, it's certainly something we can try to continue to think creatively about. But I know that conversation's come up once before.
Yeah, that sounds like a good opportunity for a diligent commissioner to monitor.
I mean, one thing about property taxes, and there is, and I'm not an expert on this, but there is sort of a base amount, you're the real estate attorney, that River Forest property, the actual land value, and a property, and I don't know what it is now, because that's a lot has to do with the market, you know, in 2008, everything dropped. But if something is being sold, a 50 by 185 property is being sold for less than, like, I'm going to say like $450,000, because isn't that sort of like what the base would be value? I mean, if something is being sold only for the land value, it's maybe a good indication that this is being sold for demolition.
I think perhaps a different way to look at it would be to see properties above the market for an extended period of time where the prices continue to drop, or one, as you've noted in some of your periodic reports, where they're being advertised as multiple lots, you know, build your dream home here. That's kind of a dead giveaway. And that's something that, you know, and, you know, not every home can be saved. I mean, that's the unfortunate reality. But you want to make certain that it doesn't happen because of inaction or loopholes or someone just saying, you know what, I don't really care about the community. Mm-hmm. I'm doing it my way. And that's not to say that our recent experience falls into any of those categories. Those are more sort of the outlier list of horribles. But it's something that, you know, we need to guard against. And to try to, you know, at least be alerted to that, because we're sort of a watchdog of that whole process. Mm-hmm. Jan? Yeah. Yeah. Oh, you have softer voice than some of us.
Jan Sager, 435 William. It's more observation than a solution. It goes to what Commissioner Franek was saying. The ordinance in the commission speaks to exteriors. You don't speak to interiors. Uh-huh. And yet, when a home is going to be, as in this case, demolished, I'm going to say it was more about the interior. And that's where the Sarvis was making, he was making his case, and he was pleading his case to the commission, based mostly on the interior. You can't talk about the so I think what you did, actually, you followed the line, and I think Brian said it at the hearing, this is very simple. This is what we decide on. And it was the exterior. So, as what Dave was saying, that, you know, how do you get people to understand that the interior is probably going to have a lot to, could have a lot to do with the fate of that house in the hands of the new owner. And yet you, when you make your decisions, you can only speak to the exterior. So, yeah, there has to be advocacy. There has to be a reach out. And maybe it is what the realtor is saying to a seller, you know, maybe if you do this. But again, it's monetary. It's a financial decision that these people have to make. 747, it, you know, we saw it. Most of us saw that house. And, you know, for somebody to, for other people, I've talked to one realtor and he said he had somebody look at it. And they just, you know, they kind of heaved, just said, we can't, you know, we just can't buy, we don't have the resources. So there is that. The commission's hands are kind of tied when it comes to deciding. So even, as Brian said, even if you stretch out, or Carla too, that you stretch out the timeline for the delay, you still can only speak to that exterior. So that's an observation. I don't really have a solution there other than, you know, talk to, hope that people will keep up their home or keep up the interior to the point where it can be sold to someone who won't tear it down.
I think one of the things that I know when we purchased our home 18, 19 years ago, it was pretty axiomatic that, and I think it's probably continued to the present, that people are interested in historic property, understand, and they're looking for ways to really modernize kitchens and bathrooms. But beyond that, they're looking for a preservation of the existing, presuming there's sufficient closet space in the bedrooms. And I think that's more of a public education thing as opposed to something you can do with an ordinance. I'm not aware of any ordinance that impacts the interior of someone's structure as a private residence. There are instances where if public funds are being spent on the renovation of the interior of a public building, like a transit station, I'm thinking Penn Central, the landmark case in the early 60s, then I think that's a different story.
Yeah, I talked to Doug Carey at Oak Park, and I'm not sure what his title is, but he at Oak Park, for any kind of project that comes to their Historic Preservation Commission, Doug gives the overview, gives the summary in his opinion of the project. They have five interiors, but they are landmarked.
Yeah.
And they are public. One is the Frank Lloyd Wright Home and Museum. One's the lobby of the Carlton Hotel. Now we know why it looks so old. Unity Temple, and two more. But yes, they're public buildings, and they are landmarked.
Yeah.
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 And the tax fees does apply to interiors.
Right. Yeah.
But they don't.
Any other thoughts? I mean, I think we sort of all expressed some interesting ways to look at it. I think that's kind of our next big challenge, to figure that out. To figure out where the triggers are that incentivize people not to do something which is going to impact, frankly, in many instances, the value of their neighbors' homes, and in a wider sense, the historic fabric in the community that impacts all of us. And the question is, how do we get that touch point?
I had an update on 720 Keystone, but I don't want to step on Carlos.
Oh, no, go ahead.
You already have the update.
No, go ahead.
I believe, and I'm sure I'll be corrected if I have this wrong, that 720, right, is the house on Keystone on the west side of the street. It's a great big, huge house. It's been on the market like forever. It sold to a village resident who does not appear to be a developer. I have, you know, absolutely no inside information regarding the village resident's intent. But it didn't sell to an outfit called, like, you know, Mansions R Us or something like that. So that's a good development to the extent we have transparency into the development. So it appears to have sold to a human being who lives in River Forest. Now, of course, 747 William sold to a human being who lives in River Forest. So who knows?
But
this human being happens to be, I believe, a lawyer. As we know, all wonderful people, as opposed to a developer.
Yeah, in the case of 747 William, it was sold to the Development LLC. That's Commissioner Press is correct that the home was bought by a human that does live in River Forest. So,
but and the initials are not LLC.
Okay. No such documentation. Yeah. Okay. With the tax transfer.
And I would second Brian's comments on the intrinsically superb nature of members of the legal profession. Do we have any other thoughts on that particular topic?
I do appreciate your talking about working with older residents, seniors, the elderly, because just gone there, been in our house for 32 years, and this year we put in a new furnace and a tear off a new roof, and it's not just the financial all the time. It's like we're doing this for the 100th time, and do we have the energy to do more? And it's so easy to say, well, maybe next year. Next year comes and goes so fast. I always wondered why my mother never got the stuff done in her huge house on 3 acres. It's because time moves much too fast to get everything done. And it's so easy to just let it go. And so the work that needs to be done never happens. That call to the person who's going to redo the bathroom or the kitchen or paint or stucco or whatever never happens until a disaster happens. So I do not know what the solution is, just knowing that more and more seniors are living longer and longer and want to stay in their homes.
And one of the things that is of a benefit is many of those seniors have lived in their homes for a number of years, decades, and as such, they have touched every inch, every surface. And when you talk to them about their property, they have a heartfelt affinity to telling you stories about what they did and when they did it. And that's something that's really at the core of home ownership of an older home, because it is a process that perhaps is never fully complete, but it certainly provides a richer experience. And according to various studies, every study that I've seen, 26 and counting, it increases the property value when people realize that the home they're considering of purchasing is subject to various preservation concepts rather than it being open season.
I'm sorry, just one other thought, and maybe I'm wrong here, but people who have been in a house for a long, long time typically have a lot of equity in that house and don't have to sell it for top dollar. You know, and my concern is that almost helps someone coming in, if that house hasn't been cared for and needs repair, it can go for cheaper because the people living in it have this great margin, in theory, to work with.
So, yeah.
And I don't know what that means, but I think it's all sort of adds to
the sure. Anything else on this topic? If not, Carla, do you have any other reports on any other updates?
No, just 720 Keystone and 550 William.
Given the fact that all that information is not exactly conveniently obtainable from one source, thanks for your diligence. It's not easy.
Oh, it's just easy. Google is the miracle of the century.
There you go. Do we have any other business that people would like to talk about?
I have a few quick items. Thank you. I'd like to first say that I found a couple of memos. I'm going to pass them on just to be clear so everybody knows. These are from 2015, so the information and data is from then. I would imagine that probably hasn't changed drastically everybody's ordinances, but there's some listing of some different ordinances. So I think that's probably what you're looking for, but if not, let me know. So.
Perfect.
A couple of other items. First of all, I just wanted to bring this back up. I think I forwarded this all along, but I'll bring it up again. This was an email sent around. It's the traditional building conference series. It's been going to be held in Oak Park in April 24th to the 25th. Village President asked me to make sure that everybody is aware of it. Again, it's quite a ways out, so you know, in terms of would like to attend, maybe we could tackle it in another meeting, but I told her I'd make sure that you guys were all aware of it. Next item is kind of twofold. The School District 90, as I mentioned before, is going to be putting an addition at Willard. And I just wanted to bring this back up again. they would like to attend the February meeting to make that presentation. From my understanding, this type of an addition was put on Lincoln School years ago, and the process was really that they although it doesn't meet 20% of their very large building, they came and presented to the commission. We're going to do that process again, so we can expect them to see them in February. I told them I'd confirm the date with them once we confirmed it with each other here. Additionally, potentially for that February meeting, I'd just like to bring up again the graphic designer to engage with the brochure. We put that on hold back in November when this process came up with the idea that we'd come back to it when everybody was comfortable. So I was just wondering if there was any consensus with that to invite that graphic designer that was selected to the February meeting to, you know, I would assume present. Maybe she could get started on some preliminary drawings and see where it is at. There's a consensus on that.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. And then, other than that, the only other business item I have is the scheduling of the next meeting.
Okay. And scheduling the next meeting?
It would be February 22nd would be the regularly scheduled date. If I know we have a small crew here tonight, but I can confirm that with the others unless anybody's...
Works for me.
Okay.
Okay. One thing... Tom sent me an email that had been forwarded to him by former Commissioner Judy De Gracias from June of last year about an architect who had grown up in Racine, Wisconsin, and he had purchased a home that was a Wright home on the North Shore in Glencoe. And he talks in the article about ways that he was able to modernize and make the home energy efficient in ways that were cutting edge, but were otherwise the Local Preservation Commission was able to get behind. I'll send that to John so he can send it around to everybody. That was a pretty interesting article. Other than that, do I hear a motion?
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, Dave.